Don't forget the bacon. That is a great...
That actually helped Pastor Ricky. Reed texted us last Sunday. He's like, bacon. And Pastor Ricky had the bacon in his pocket. Or it was Wednesday night, huh? Wednesday night. He had the bacon in his pocket, bacon in his pocket before church started. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, today, so we've been doing some page turning in Pastor Ricky's sermons, because he's been talking about symptoms of unbelief. And if you're truthful with yourselves, you've had them all. Come on, I ain't trying to be mean or nothing, but let's be honest. Is it right there? I'll read them all out to you. Let's look. Hey, I'm not preaching today. It's not my deal. It's Pastor Ricky's. Because not all of us make it on Wednesdays. I get that. But symptoms of unbelief. Three guy? No. So I'll talk a lot by reading this, and then we'll get into the sermon. Good thing I have an intermission thing. So here's the symptoms. Are you moved by what you see? Are you fearful or panicky? Are you speaking negatively? Are you pessimistic or sarcastic? Are you blaming others for your problems? Are you murmuring, complaining, griping about things? Disrespectful, unthankful? Are you looking back at the past with longing? Are you impatient and putting pressure on others? Are you forgetting God's many benefits and faithfulness? Are you argumentative and quarrelsome? Are you defiant and rebellious? Are you not listening, not obeying instructions? Are you despairing, sad, depressed? Have you been feeling sorry for yourself and crying a lot? Here's the rough one. If you are experiencing one or more of these symptoms, you are in unbelief. And that unbelief is robbing you of blessings. Yeah. You should immediately administer large doses of the Word of God now. See, on every service I come in here and I start the service, the Isaiah 54, 2 and 3, the year of enlarging and the year of growth. And spiritual growth is extremely... I'm not starting yet. I got it. I'll do it. You're going to do... I'm going to tell them that you have to do the announcements every time now. Because that was pretty good how you called me and Steve out. So we'll mess with that. But there's a portion... Like, I want you guys to be pumped up when we go over the enlarging and growth. And when we come into God's house, we should be pumped up. I remember a long time, actually you guys could still catch me because I'm always deep in thought and being a weirdo. You catch me with that blank stare or that angry stare, and I'm really not mad, but like Heather says all the time, somebody ought to tell my face, right? Because I always, quite frequently, I have a scowl. Right? It's not really like that, but that's just because I'm deep in thought, right? But man, when I show up to church, I kind of get, woohoo! Yeah. I'm excited to be here. Yeah. I'm around people that I like. Yeah. And I can't even say like most of you. Like I pretty much like all of you. Like, I'm looking around. Yeah, y'all are cool. I see some people I don't know. I like you guys too. That's awesome, right? So I will pray before Heather loses her mind. And then we'll get after the word. Father, thank you so much for an opportunity to bring your word. I ask that it's effective in helping people and that it's just what you would have me to say and not anything that I have in my own way brought up. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So, page turner, I talked about that. We're not going to do a lot of page turning. We're going to talk almost solely about David today. And so 1 Samuel 16, I guess we could do like New King James or New Living, or just you pick one and I'll read it. Not the Amplified, because there's a lot of words.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big words aren't a problem. It's just the length of time. What verse? Oh, 1 Samuel 16. Just one. There you go. And if Young's little. Do we have the Darby? The Darby's always fun. We don't have the Darby. That's an old one. New King James will do. Oh, Message might be fun, but I haven't read it yet in the Message to vet it. Because, man, the Message gets weird sometimes. So, right here, it's just the. Now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him for reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons, right? And then we'll skip down to verse 11. And it's 1 Samuel 16, 11 now. And as y'all know, Jesse went ahead and brought all his kids in. Except for the one that God was looking for, right? He brought in the good-looking ones. He brought in the strong ones. He brought in the tall ones. And God rejected every single one. And so then, here's where David gets called. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest, and there he is, keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes. So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with bright eyes, and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Amen. Hallelujah. One more. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went out to Ramah. We'll call it that. So David anointed with oil all his brothers. From that point on, the Spirit of God is on him. Everybody agree?
Yes.
Would you say that David knew that he was called that day?
Yes.
He got anointed with oil. So David knew the call on his life. He was picked out by God, and he knew what he needed to do. Right?
Yes.
Awesome. Amen. Question. How many of you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? Pretty much everybody?
Yep.
Awesome. You're called by God. Simple as that. So you know right now. Today is the 7th, right? In case you didn't know this before, starting today, the 17th of September, 2023, you have been picked, chosen, and called by God simply by declaring your faith in Jesus Christ. Whenever that was is actually when it happened, but from this day forward, no matter what happens, no matter what is said, you are called by God, and you have that calling on your life. Everybody get that? Now, out. David, in the midst of being called, can anybody tell me a little bit about what happened to David? Don't worry about it. I'll tell you. In being called, David was attacked. He was brutalized. This guy that he was serving tried to kill him. Got it? He lost a child. Got it? His wife didn't like him. Made fun of him during announcements one time. But you know what? David it out and still served God. See, from that point forward, because David knew that he was anointed. When the Holy Spirit sealed you, you were anointed for the work of God in your life. The key is, are you going to be faithful and do? Hallelujah. Are you going to be faithful and do what he's called you to do? And then are you going to do it where he's called you to do it? David was anointed as a child to be king. He didn't move into the palace that day. In fact, I'm sure right after dinner, his brothers probably beat him. I know that if I was on the spot, and made fun of, and I wasn't the smallest of the brothers, I was mad and tried to thump somebody too. Okay. Wendy, Jean, John, I appreciate you guys sitting with me. But his brothers probably just like Oh my gosh, Joseph's brothers, right? Probably put him out. Seems that happens a lot to those guys that are called by God. They might get picked on by their family. But are they going to be willing and faithful and continue serving, right? But he went, probably went, God, he went right back into the field. He had the Spirit of God on him. He knew who God was. And he got after business, doing what he was called to do, when he was called to do it, where he was called to do it. All right. When? Right? He didn't complain. He didn't go out in the field. At least it's not recorded. And if it's not recorded, and because David was after God's heart, I'm supposing David went out in the field and just did what he did. In fact, when he was in the field, he wrote most of them Psalms. So he worshiped God in all of this. Let's go to chapter 17, verse 28. While he's getting that pulled up, I'll tell you a little bit about what happened here. Before verse 28, Jesse, David's dad, was concerned about his brothers and got him like a little gift pack for his brothers, right? And he sends him off to see him in front of the out where they're doing battle. And David didn't say, hey, Dad, let me go and see the brothers. No. Jesse sent him. Now, David heard this Philistine guy, this uncircumcised Philistine, you know, Goliath, ridiculing God and his armies, right? Everybody remember that? I'm kind of paraphrasing. David's like, what'll happen to the guy that kills this uncircumcised Philistine? Because wouldn't you want to know? Because if you Israelites are, they're like sticking in their armor. They're afraid of this big dude. Cool. David's like, hey, so somebody kills this guy, I'm good to go. Now David had killed a bear. In a minute you will read about it. David had killed a bear and a lion, both which I believe could have probably killed Goliath. Yeah. So David really didn't have no concern about his well-being when he asked it. He knew he was going to go because the Lord was upon him since he got anointed, which was before this time. And listen how Eliab, probably the best looking, the oldest, the heir apparent to Jesse, right? Listen how he treats David. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? Notice how he belittles David. Yeah. Few sheep. Yeah. In the wilderness. Ha ha, it's my batteries. Appreciate it. Hallelujah. Look at that. It even sounds better. All right. So notice how Eliab, not only does he just start getting after his brother for being there, he also says those few sheep. Like this is his dad. That is actually because Eliab would be. That really is his inheritance that he's talking down about. Those few sheep that you're watching over. Right. Yeah. I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. Next. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first ones did. Talking about what the man who slays Goliath will get. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. We're going to keep on going. I'll let you know when we're done. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. There's that doubt. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine, making the difference between who he was and the Philistine was, will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. We'll stop there for a second. Go, and the Lord be with you. Y'all ever say, I'm going to go do this? You're like, good luck at that, bud. Yeah. Like, that's basically what Saul's doing here. He's still doubting David. Yeah. He's like, okay, dude. Between here and 41, which we're going to go to 41 next. Between here and 41, Saul's like, hey, you better take my armor. Yeah. You better take my sword, my shield. Take everything I got, because you're going to die out there. Right? And then David says, nah, I'm cool. And he had just his shepherd's clothes on. And he had just a bag of rocks, 5 of them. And he had just a sling. Yeah. And he had just killed that giant. See, this is where we sometimes miss it as Christians. David went into this from a point of victory. He didn't go in and, well, I hope God shows up. He didn't, did he? He already knew. He said, just as the Lord delivered me, he will hear. That's the God we serve. Yes. That's why this enlarging and this growing thing is so important for you. Because you need to catch on to those spiritual truths before you get into those other promised truths, amen. Right? Because if you're not growing in the Lord, when I come up here and talks about how, you know, we've been blessed by our giving, it's not because we started with giving. Yeah. We started with the Word. We let the Word sink in. Yes. And then we applied the Word to our lives. Yes. And that's what we got to do. And that's why enlarging and growing in spiritual things is so important. Enlarging and growing in the things of the Word, in spending time with God, in worshiping. That's what's so important, because that's how you cannot fight. Well, you'll fight from a position of victory rather than, I don't know what's going to happen. Rather than, well, it'd be cool if he did. Because, I mean, I've done that. Even recently, wanting to be cool, it's okay. We get it. Don't be down on yourself. Once in a while, you find yourself in a little unbelief. Just correct it. Verse 41, sir. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. Y'all ever watch UFC and you know they got them big ears, right, that are all jacked up from getting punched too much, the cauliflower ear? Like, you ever watching a UFC fight and guy goes in there with brand new ears? And you're like, he about to get jacked. That, or maybe he was really good. Not much time fighting. He was just that good. But it's probably not the case. He got jacked, right? That's how it is. Right. So that's it. Goliath probably got scars. Ugly. Might be missing an ear. Jacked up. Right, toe up from the flow up, right? But David goes out there sparkling new. Brand new. He had been in a fight with a lion and a bear. He was still good looking. Like, not a rugby player for sure. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Oops. Next. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." Hallelujah. "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." "Then all his assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Go ahead and stay there. Go ahead and stay there. "For the Lord does not save with sword and spear, and the battle is the Lord's." What sword and spear are you applying to your fight instead of God? You got more faith, like Pastor Ricky been bringing this out a lot. You got more faith in that extra loan? You got more faith in that extra something? Got more faith in that bottle? Really?
Yeah.
Amen.
I'll tell you what. I have, myself, I've been ill, right? I've been dying. Mm-hmm. I've been broken.
Amen.
And I found a lot of solace. I'll tell you the truth. I found a lot of solace and peace in the bottom of a pill bottle. I really did. It didn't do anything for me.
Right.
At the end of the day, all I was stupefied.
Right.
I was numb.
Yeah.
I stand here today having not been to a point where I couldn't stand. Pill bottle fixed that.
Right.
It didn't. The cane that I walked with, So the church, when I started coming to church, I stopped taking pain pills on Wednesdays and Sundays. That's how it started. Stopped taking pills on Wednesdays and Sundays because I wasn't mind right when I came to church. And I had lived on pills just to be able to function. And then it came, I was like, you know what? Pills make me itchy. I don't want to take them at night. I'll just get through the day. This time when I was crippled up and I couldn't walk in Ireland, silly Ireland, she was just a baby learning to crawl. I had to get her occasionally. But, you know, and walk very good. That didn't always work because when babies learn to crawl, they're like lightning. But it was here in that room where my cane got taken from me. They didn't like come and pull it out from under me. But I didn't have to use it anymore because of prayer. Pills kept me numb to the pain and numb. But then all got fixed with prayer. I don't know why I went there, but that's what I did. The sword and the spear that you have been applying to the fight that you're in. Y'all should know that God has the battle. But you have to fight it from the right position. And if you've already won, you just stand back and let God do his thing. Because that's what it boils down to. That's faith. It's not your job to fix it. God said he'll take care of it. It's where you need to fight from. Stop trying so hard to get through. Day at all. It keeps covering the deal, yo. Maybe. I could be wrong. Who knows? And it's hot. Go to chapter 18, please. Now, so we all know that David killed that guy, right? Well, the Lord did. I mean, Reed sent a video yesterday, I think it was, about using a sling against stuff. And that dude, he was slinging some rocks. But I'll tell you what, the scripture records that it sunk into his head. So it sunk. I think that David did his part and slung the stone. And then as soon as it hit that dude in the forehead, God just went, done. That's me. It's not in scripture, so you can't say, hey, Clinton says. Verse 6, please. That's what I think. So David kills this Philistine. Now it happened as they were coming home when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistine. That the women had come out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, and with musical instruments. So the women sang as they danced and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Yeah. Woo! Yeah. Now, if we read on, we'd find out that Saul gets mad. Yeah. Saul says, well, the only thing left is to make this dude king. Well, the people ain't going to make him king, dum-dum. You goofed up. God made him king. So in chapter 19, it tells this story about one time, you know, David was in Saul's service because Saul turned his back on what God had asked. The Spirit of God left Saul for a evil spirit to torment him. Right? And so anytime this evil spirit came upon him, David would come in because he was a gifted musician. And he'd play his harp and sing for him. And the spirit would leave. And Saul would be able to rest. So one time, this spirit is vexing Saul. And David comes in. And David, in the midst of doing his job, tell me how close to working in a church this sounds. In the middle of doing his job, Saul gets mad. Now, and then he chucks a spear at that dude. He says, you know what? I'm going to pin this kid to the wall. And chucks a spear at him. Not once. Two or three times. Like, so he missed the first time. He's like, I'll get him anyway. He goes over. You stay right there, bud. Gets that spear, chucks it at him again, misses again. God saved David. Yeah. Saul lost his mind. But how many times in your walk day to day have you seen where somebody ridicules you, wants to harm you for you just doing what God has asked you to do? Amen. How many times? So we started playing Pokemon. Because there's a Pokemon gym here. Hey, listen, there's nothing wrong with it. It's a silly game, okay? It's a kid's game. Despite what everybody says, okay? And if you'd like to talk about that, I'll talk to you about it. Not a problem, because I don't care. But somebody called and complained about it. Not to our pastors. But they called the Western District, right? And they made a big thing of it. And then the district supervisor talked to me about it. And he says that I wasn't a bad guy, right? Actually, he called me the bad guy at first. So you're the bad guy. This, that, and the other thing, whatever. But it's just, all I was doing was playing a game, and people got mad about it. It happens all the time. Because my family has taken on this living in a glass house thing, we're judged.
Yes.
Now, I could do the easy way. I could say, you know what, pastors? I just can't do this. And I can leave. Yeah. Nothing ties me here. I'm not required to stay.
That's right.
I stay because God has called me here.
Amen.
He said, Clinton, you have a job to do.
Yeah.
Do it. So I do.
Amen.
And it has come with challenges. It has come with people picking on me. I don't care. Because my God is greater than what they have, right? So in that, David, even though Saul tried to kill him, did you know that, do you think David left?
No.
Now, Saul did send him away, probably to try to kill him.
Yes.
But it didn't work. And in all that, David still served Saul. It's recorded that two times David had Saul so he could strike him down.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he didn't. Yes. He just went about it.
Yes.
Doing his own business. Yes. He did, and he confessed, and he repented for it.
Yep.
And all he did was cut his garment. But he said he laid his hands on the Lord's anointed, and he was grieved by it.
Yes.
I take that for what it is. If you, in all that, David didn't say a word bad about Saul. Man, I can't believe he's trying to kill me again. Man, I can't believe they talked about me again. Man, I can't believe he sent me to this battlefield with people dying all around me. That's all, just because he's crazy. He needs somebody to play a harp. None of that. David went about just honoring and serving God in everything. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 16 through 22. I'm going to burn through these ones. I'll give you the scripture and I'll tell you the context. 2 Samuel 6, 16. Oh, it's already. Now as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Next. So they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. Next. And when David had finished offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Then he distributed among the people, among the whole multitude of Israel, both to women and the men, to everyone a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. Then David returned to bless his household, and his wife, right, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today." You can hear it in her voice, right? "Uncovering himself today in the eyes of all the maids of his servants, and as one of the base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself." Well, that's enough. What he was doing was worshiping before the Lord best he knew how. And she hated him for it. Sounds a lot like the things that can happen. Right? Rocking out with in your car. Got yourself some Jesus Jump playing. That's really a Christian song. And they people looking at you, they're this guy and his Christian music. Or maybe you really gone off the deep end and you're singing like some Francesca Battistelli or whatever it is, right? Getting down with the get down. Just giving it all before the Lord. But, man, what about when you come in here and you won't say a word when we're worshiping? You just sitting there. That's all I got today. Right? Because you're afraid what that neighbor will say. What if they hear that I can't carry a tune in a bucket? Okay, who cares? That person thinks that you can't carry a tune in a bucket, they can't either. It's okay, nobody, it doesn't matter. Just wail before the Lord. If your voice cracks, it's just an extra instrument. Right? Who cares? Let them ridicule you. It doesn't matter. Amen. Do you know what happened to that lady? She couldn't have any kids. In this day and age, you didn't have kids, you was pretty much useless. Yes. Throw her out, get another. Don't take that wrong. But that's how it was back then, just so y'all know. So David's own wife despised his worship. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, before this, the whole Bathsheba thing, right? And this is kind of, chapter 12 is going over that. David loses his son. The child gets sick. And the prophet already told him, hey, this you killed your servant to take his wife. That baby's going to die. It's unfortunate. And David still went and pleaded with God. Scripture actually records that. David pleads with God, God, please don't hold my sin against the child. Yeah. Didn't work. Child still died. And then when David should be distraught, broken, just out of his mind, he stands up, he takes a bath, he puts on new garments, and he worships God. Amen. They thought, man, dude's crazy. He must have really lost his mind. He sat for weeks wailing over this baby. And now that it's dead, he's rejoicing? Amen. How many of us have been in that spot where it just doesn't make sense to worship?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Been there. It does, that doesn't make sense to worship right now. You should be mourning. You should be hurting. The hurt didn't go away. But I'm going to praise God regardless. No matter what, despite anything going on, I'm going to praise God. It doesn't matter if my wife makes fun of me. It doesn't matter if the world makes fun of me. It doesn't matter if all is lost. I'm still going to praise God. Because that's what He's called us to do. Because He's done so much for us already.
Amen.
So why dwell on the things that cannot be changed? He says, will wailing bring the baby back?
No.
It won't. Will crying and being in a pity party help you walk again, Clinton? No. So you get up. You wash that sadness off of you. And you worship God. That's not ignoring what happened. It's knowing the only way through it. That's what God has for you. He gives you a way. Man, for whatever reason, we're stuck here for a second. When it all falls apart, when the bank is empty, when the car's out of gas, when your kid is addicted to drugs, when your wife is sick. You can get all Debbie Downer. You can not take a shower, not shave. You can let your hair get matted, get some dreadlocks going. You can smell to high heaven. Or you can say, but God. But God. That again, that goes right back to faith. Is your faith in the report? Your faith in God? Is your faith in what's staring you in the face? Or is it in God? Hopefully, even if you start in that, nasty armpit phase, that we'll get past that. Toss on some deodorant and some good clothing. Shave a little bit and get after worshiping God.
Amen.
If you're dealing with depression, God. And I will qualify that with this. I know what you're going through, and I've been there. I'm not just up here preaching something I ain't never experienced. I've been depressed. I've been driven to the edge. I was looking at pictures the other day of when I was bad for a minute there. And you could tell in my eyes that I wasn't in a good place.
Yeah.
The deadness.
Come on. It's true. Yes.
So I'm not discounting what you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let it stay.
Amen.
That was actually it was before we started the church. And when I say God saved my marriage, it was it's pretty close to when Heather and the boys in Ireland all left. Because I was just terrible. So, don't stay there. And then here's the hardest for me. You can just go to the logo. And it's actually, I think it starts in 13. With David has Absalom. Absalom has a sister. Absalom's sister is raped by one of David's other kids. Right? Absalom kills David's kid. And David loses kids like I lose money. Right? Drop it. It's always in the washer, just so you know. But David just be losing kids left and right. So Absalom, because he got mad at David, his dad, decides, I'm going to take the kingdom. And then, so Absalom rebels against David to try to take the kingdom, and he succeeds for the most part. David went into exile, into hiding. Everybody knows that, right?
Yes.
For time's sake, I'm not reading the entire story. We go again. Does David start these kids that God blessed me with? These jerks. Does he start cursing God?
No.
Does he blame God?
No.
What's he do? He goes right back after serving God, loving God, worshiping God. While in hiding. Kingdom. People trying to kill him. But, right?
Yeah.
But God. And then, once again, David loses another son. Absalom dies. He's where we get the whole curses man that hangs in a tree thing, right?
Yeah.
And David could easily go to the pity party, start hating his life, but he doesn't. Goes right back to serving God. So in all of this, and this is just in closing, he honored God. He remained faithful to the call on his life. That's why I asked you in the beginning, are you going to remain faithful to the call on your life? Or are you going to let the circumstances of your life dictate how you spend it? It's easy to do it the other way. It really is. I tell you, walking away from ministry, I don't want to say it would be easy, but in a lot of ways it could be a relief. You mean nobody else is going to talk bad about me? No, people are still going to talk bad about you. Work at a bank, dude. People are going to talk bad about me every day. It's okay. Does it mean that all my problems are going to go away?
No.
No. It'll mean that I've decided to step out of the call of God on my life and try to forge my own path, to go my own way. And though the stress and the burdens of ministry, life stresses and burdens are still going to be there. And I will have to go that alone. Now, that's not God. It's not going to, if I was to say, you know what, we can't do this anymore, God's not going to all of a sudden say, well, you're on your own. I'd rather be in the will of God than fighting against it.
Amen.
Bow your heads, close your eyes. So while everybody's eyes are closed and heads are bowed, if by chance not accepted God as your Lord and Savior, or Jesus is your Lord and Savior, raise your hand. One more. We're solid. All right. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to dismiss, and we're going to have a wonderful rest of the Sunday. Sound good?
Amen.
Huzzah. Father God, we thank you for your word, Lord God. We ask that it would...